It's showtime.
Hey, Carl.
Hey, what's happening, Mark?
Nothing.
Carl, I really was excited about your choice of shows because I got into Boy Meets World podcast. I've never seen the show, and I could have just clipped it all night. I mean, there were so many things available, and I sent you a few ideas, but I'm sure you found a million clips, probably more than you can use. Did you want to start off with that or Rob Lowe with Paris Hilton?
Let's start off with Pod Meets World, a brand new podcast, and yet another one where washed-up actors have nothing better to do than to relive their glory days together. This is Ryder Strong, Danielle Fishel, and Will Friedle, who were all on this show playing Topanga, Sean, and Eric. And now they're going to go back and watch every single episode along with you, the fan of Boy Meets World, which was on TGIF.
They couldn't get Ben Savage up in this?
No. No Ben Savage.
He wants nothing to do with it. They went over with him a couple times, and he's absolutely uninterested. I would suspect that he's doing very well at something, and are the three of them doing anything at all?
Well, Danielle Fischel, she's been doing something, hasn't she?
No.
I don't know.
No. The only one that's been doing anything is Maitland Ward. She was
Porn. Yeah,
she's doing porn.
Yeah. Why isn't she on the podcast?
I don't know, but I'd subscribe.
She might be a guest at some point because they do announce all the guests that they'll be having coming up. If you want to talk, play my track number 10. This is a list of amazing guests.
I'm so excited.
Get ready to be excited.
I'm looking forward to all of that. I'm also super excited. We're going to have a ton of amazing guests. We are going to have Trina McGee, Betsy Randall, Rusty Russ, who played Mom and Dad.
Oh, wow.
Bill Daniels, of course.
Of
the
course.
Famous Mr. Feeney is going to be joining us. We are going to have Matt Lawrence, Maitland Ward. We're also going to invite a lot of our famous guest stars. Jason Marsden, who we already mentioned, is hopefully
going to... Wait a second. I don't mean to pause at your clip, Carl, but did you say we're going to invite them? That doesn't count. I mean, I could... I'm going to invite President Obama and President Trump to be on our show.
When you say that it's a guest star, shouldn't it be a star that we all know? Because it's a guest star?
Fair point.
I didn't know that guest star.
Well, there's only about 20 more seconds of people she's going to name.
Let's hear it.
And Mars will be here.
Okay, great. Yeah, we're going to have a lot of great guest stars. We're also going to have writers and directors crew, if we're able to find them. Like, talking about wardrobe, there are several wardrobe people I would love to have on to talk about what the inspiration behind shirts was.
You want to explain 90s fashion? You want to bring on the people who have to explain what 90s fashion was?
It's not their fault.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
I love that she wants to get the key grip from the TV show and bring them out and talk about their experience. Like, can we get somebody who, like, wrote it or something a little bit more important than
that? It's just going to go deep, Carl. You're going to go deep.
Going real deep.
I imagine those people, like the key grip, probably weren't big fans of them either. These kids that are stars that boss them around.
Well, it's funny because they're going back and watching these shows and they haven't watched it since it came out, I guess. And Will hates watching himself. He's like, I was a terrible actor. I can't watch this. It's unwatchable. And the one thing that was interesting to me is Will calls out everyone for sucking at acting. They go back and they watch the pilot again. And my track number 7, Will puts everyone on blast.
You had 4 lines and were you were by far the best actor on the episode.
Yes, that is true.
You were by far the best actor on the episode. And I'm including the adults. Maybe Bill, because Bill was Bill.
What?
You were the best actor and I'm including the adults. Like, dude, you're going to talk to those people probably soon. You're trying to get them on your show.
Yeah, we heard the whole list.
You might not want to call them out so much. So William Daniels, Bill, they keep talking to. He was the guy. He was on St. Elsewhere. In the 80s.
Oh, okay.
So he's probably the best known person from the show before the show came out.
Mr. Feeney, yeah.
He's Mr. Feeney on here. Oh, you're familiar with the show.
Very familiar. I watched it a lot growing up.
Oh, good. Okay. So in the most recent episode, they were able to get one of these guests on.
Oh, great.
Yes. And it's Rusty Russ, who was a character. I guess he played the dad on the show. And Danielle, who's an idiot, introduces him incorrectly in my track number 12.
So I am absolutely thrilled. We have our first ever guest on the Pod Meets World podcast. This is an incredible guest.
Oh my God.
Please welcome Rusty Russ. William Rusty Russ.
Oh, yay! Oh, thank you. You're talking about, I didn't know when they're going to show up.
Carl, did you like this little aside she had afterwards when she introduced Rusty Russ? I don't know if you clipped that or not, but it was one of the biggest wah-wahs I've ever heard. She said, oh my God, there was a premiere for Cruisin'. And she starts going, getting all excited. She goes, were you there? And he goes, no. And then she says something about, well, surely you were there for the live thing. No, I wasn't there. It really kind of brought the room down. It was unfortunate because it sounded like something that I would never go to either. And he was intimately involved with it and he didn't even go.
He wasn't interested in any way. And then they're like, oh, well, you've been in lots of movies and stuff. Yeah, that must be why. That makes sense. So then I thought this was interesting because you just heard when they were talking about the show that none of the adults except for that one guy, Bill, were any good at acting. And so William Rusty Russ comes on and talks about how great all the adults were on the show. And they all agree, track number 13.
I mean, for a quote unquote kid show, the adults on our show were great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the thing.
The adults were great. Yeah, they were. They were fantastic.
Carl, you really just bust everyone. Should be a cop.
The problem is I'm listening. I'm the only one listening to this stuff. That's why I pick up on it. Let's talk about what a pilot is. Now, Danielle, not only is she dumb, she thinks everyone else is dumb as well. There's no hint of irony here. This is literally her explaining in track number 5 what a pilot episode is.
Well, let me tell everybody exactly what the pilot episode was. It was season 1, episode 1, otherwise known as 101, and it was called The Pilot.
Oh, no shit, Sherlock. You don't say. So you guys didn't do your pilot episode in season 3? Oh, okay, good.
These people.
You did it in the right order.
I would think if you're that interested in the show, you'd be interested in just television in general. You would know what a pilot is.
Of course. Yeah. Everyone knows what a pilot is. A casual viewer knows what a pilot is. But these people, I don't think anyone really gave them any advice about doing this podcast. Do you think, Carl? Because
no, they don't seem to know what podcasting is at all.
No, they're neither of these three. I don't know. Do you really? I guess you know Danielle Fishel. You guys do?
Yeah.
Well, sure, but only from this show. I don't remember anything that pretty much any of these other actors did, except Ben Savage had a couple things. Plus, he's the brother of Fred.
And he's not on. He's the only one that turned it down because he's too good.
I remember Ryder Strong being a huge hot heartthrob during the 90s for all the little girls. They loved him in the Tiger Beat magazines. But after this show, he went poof.
I remember Rusty Russ just because he went to Michigan.
Oh, stop.
No, I'm kidding. He did go to Michigan, but he was in American History X.
Well,
which is what?
Oh, yeah, he was the dad, right?
It's a Boy Meets World, yeah.
No, the dad. The dad was Elliot Gould. Oh, no, he wasn't the dad. He was the boyfriend. The dad?
What, an American History X?
American History X?
Yeah, oh, I thought, Brandon, you meant for Boy Meets World.
Oh. For both, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the only point I was trying to make was these three people. I don't know them at all. And so when they start talking about their families, I'm like, oh, my God. Could you talk about something I care about less? I mean, even when you're talking about the show, there's at least you might pull me in. But when you're talking about your personal lives, I don't even know you. So it didn't work out that well for me, personally.
Drew, I'm not sure which state they're recording this in, but wherever it is, abortion is still legal. Because that's what the show is all the way through. And they explain what the plot of the pilot is. And I quickly learned why I never watched Boy Meets World. This is track number 6.
And the episode is that Corey is caught listening to the Phillies game in class while Mr. Feeney is trying to teach the class about love. So they're talking about Romeo and Juliet, and he is listening to the Phillies game in headphones.
Boring.
Oh, God.
That's wacky.
So this is why I was watching Married with Children and The Simpsons at that time. At that point, Meets World, because that sounds like a snoozer.
I was fucking 9, man.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
I was 9.
Even at age 9, I feel like, I wish you were younger. I mean, just, I wish. It would make me feel better about our show.
In track number 8, they're actually praising how amazing this pilot was. Oh. And I don't think they do a good job of selling it to me anyway.
Yeah. And a pilot in which not that much actually happens. I mean, it's not like he runs away and joins a circus. He goes to the backyard, sits in his treehouse. But it has such emotional stakes. And I guess that's what I mean is that the tone of the show, the seriousness of it, you know, like there's a period where there's not a laugh for like a good 10, 12 minutes where, you know, Mr. Feeney and Corey have that scene in detention that is just pure, wonderful writing and acting. I mean, Bill is so good.
It's Boy Meets World.
the show's 22 minutes long. He goes, for 12 minutes, there's not a single joke in it. Like, wow, what a great sitcom.
Wait, I was going to say, it's a sitcom. I mean, isn't it sort of like when...
remember Different Strokes when Gordon Jump
got
was...
molested?
Yeah. And,
but that was
weird. There were laughs all throughout that whole story about the molested.
It was so weird. That's the weirdest episode in the history of episodic
I love
comedy
that.
Love sitcom.
That episode. Well, they had a couple of those because remember they brought Nancy Reagan on one to teach a very important lesson
to say
on
no.
drugs.
That show sucked.
Was this show, how big was this show?
Brandon.
It was pretty big. I mean, it was, I don't know, it was right up there with like the Full Houses and the.
Huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Do people gather on the Boy Meets World
Family
house
matters.
Like they do the Full House house? Because people go to the not. Full House all the time. People can't stop going to the Full House.
I don't know if the Boy Meets World house was ever put into a location that was as significant as the San Francisco high-rise buildings.
Okay.
There is Girl Meets World.
You get really defensive about Boy Meets World, that's for sure.
There is Girl Meets World because Charlotte has watched that, I think, an episode. Just does not get, like, sitcom. Because sitcoms don't really exist anymore like they did exist, you know, with the setup.
Seems like she'd be the target audience.
She hated it. She didn't care for it at all. And that stars Ben Savage, by the way. So
I think
that's
it was canceled after a couple seasons.
Was it Girl Meets World?
Yeah.
Well, thanks let's talk about it. Girl Meets World because something very important happened when they decided to pivot and start up that show. They stole Will's catchphrase.
Oh, that's
and
right.
He's not happy about it. Now, Drew and I were chatting a little bit about this. This is the longest clip. It's 2 minutes long because the explanation here is bonkers. So if you want to pause it and chat at any time,
okay.
feel free.
Pause, but first of all, I just want to say this. This catchphrase, usually when something is a big catchphrase, a la, you know, isn't that special, church lady, or where's the
Dynamite!
Beef?
Mm-hmm.
It's a catchphrase that everyone knows. Even people that don't watch it know. I don't know this catchphrase at all.
I'm trying to think because I'm a big fan, I was a fan of this show.
Wow.
God damn it. I was a fan of the show when it came out. And I don't recall him ever having any catchphrase. It's not like, you know, Blossom, Joey going,
whoa.
You know, I don't remember there
yeah,
being
I know that, and I didn't watch the show. You can't remember any catchphrases from the show?
No, I really
okay.
can't.
Okay, I'm excited
well,
for this cut.
Maybe we should play the catchphrase first, then, because I actually pulled it. There
oh,
was,
you did?
Somebody posted on YouTube him doing it over and over again. I just pulled a couple examples. So 11.5 is the catchphrase.
Hey. Okay.
I don't remember that at all.
Me?
So Feeny is the teacher on the show, and apparently this is the cool guy in school. And when he sees him, he goes, hey, it's Feeny!
Oh, my God, how embarrassing.
But you're going to hear that. You're going to find out the reason why he refuses to say the catchphrase. He has never said it since a certain point in time. That's the exciting thing about this cut. You learn all the stuff about this catchphrase that no one knows.
Can't wait.
Why don't you do the Feeny call?
There's a number of reasons I don't do the Feeny call.
No one cares.
There really are. And one of them is, if I'm being totally honest, I was upset with the way the Feeny call was taken from me, which is the absolute truth. So when they started Girl Meets World, Michael, I'm not trying to bash Michael in any way, shape, or form,
but
he apologized to me for this, frankly. Without calling me, without letting me know, without doing anything, he just popped in a tape of the Feeny call to Rowan and Sabrina and said, you guys are now doing this. You're both doing this when you meet Mr. Feeny. Other than it saying Feeny with an exclamation point in the script, the Feeny call was mine. Like, I created that out of whole cloth.
What an artist.
Oh, my God.
I just made that my own. So I thought, without even being asked to then take it and give it away, I didn't think was very cool. So Michael apologized to me. He's like, you're right. That was, and I told him that. I was like, that wasn't cool. He's like, I didn't even, he said,
I would love to have been in that meeting when he told them that. And he's like, you're right. You're right. Can you imagine just all the shit that was flying during that argument?
It is not the stairway to heaven of catchphrases. I'm sorry. It's just not.
I honestly didn't even think about it that way. You're right. I should have.
You never
Let's
said any of
do
this.
Some kind of passing of the torch. And I went in front of the audience at Girl Meets World. I did it one more time, and I said, I pass it on to the girls. And I got that because, and this is a true story, I was doing a cartoon called Thundercats, which was one of my favorite cartoons ever growing up, and I got a chance to play Lion-O. And the original Lion-O actor Larry Kenny played my dad on the show, and he was at a convention, and he actually sent me the clip, and I thought this was really cool, where somebody said, can you do the famous Thundercats ho? And he said, I will do it one more time for you, but then it's Will's, and I'm officially passing the torch. And I thought that was cool. He says he's never done it since. Who knows if he has, but he says he's never done it since. So I took that, coupled with kind of like, you know, that was mine, and you gave it away, and I liked this passing the torch thing, and I haven't done it since.
That's fascinating. Please, go on.
What an ass.
What a total dick.
Oh, my God. How confused must the audience be when someone passes the torch? That's so ludicrous. Why would you stop saying it?
After they were already doing it on the show, too.
Yeah.
So they were doing it on the show, and then he has to go there and tell the audience, okay, I'm going to let them do it. It's cool with me now. Like, okay, whatever. It's you're not on the show anymore.
Yeah, who cares?
The show's over for 20 years. He can never say it again?
He says
the other guy says he's never said this other catchphrase, but I don't know that for sure, but he says he hasn't. No one cares. No one's keeping track.
Does he own the trademark on it? I mean, what's the point?
Is he on Cameo? Because I just want to request him to do that catchphrase. Try to catch him in a lie. I see Brad Dodd's looking it up right now as we speak. Let's get either the Thundercats guy or this guy. Let's see if we can request that.
He is.
Great call.
And I have just joined Cameo. So if you want any shout-outs, birthday, anniversary, mitzvah, both bar or bot, I would be happy to help you out because that's mitzvah. What we do here on Cameo.
Cameo.
So hit me
Let's
up.
Let's look at an example to see if he says Feeny.
Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Polly, I think I'm saying your name right. I hope I am. I can't call you Chris because I know you're a teacher, so I have to call you Mr. Polly. Even when I've met my teachers back in the day, I meet them as adults, I still have to call them by their names. So, Mr. Polly, it's Wilfred L. here. I'm sorry, I'm tilting all over the place because I'm in my car right now. I'm not driving, don't worry. But I'm in my car, but this was about to expire, and I can't let it expire because Haley...
Because then you wouldn't get the money.
Up, Haley Vogel, who I'm sure you know, hit me up because she said you are... a hugely important teacher to everybody, and she is graduating this year, so she wanted to give you the present of this guy, which at the end of the day,
nobody cares.
I think we can all agree she could have gotten you a better gift for all the work you did. But anyway, this is what you got. It's me, my friend, wishing you so much love and happiness and success
nobody
in your
cares.
Life, because apparently you are an inspiration to all of your students.
Oh, and just Haley do it already. Sure
that you, in fact, know that. So I hear you are also, which I think is really, really cool, you are a certified clown in...
All right, no.
Don't you love it on Cameo when the person goes, I hear that, because they're reading it off the screen.
So if you want your own personalized message from Will Friedle or whatever, it's $90 on Cameo.com.
Oh, I like his new catchphrase, which is, mitzvah. A bar or bat. Who says that?
Just all great right. artists.
Try to get him to say his catchphrase and then send it in to us.
Yeah, I won't pay for it.
I think that would be fun to check out. Yeah. By the way, the pitch for this show, Boy Meets World, was it's growing pains, but centering on the middle child instead of the oldest child. That was like the big change they made there. And I was thinking, I have an idea for a cartoon, guys. I'm going to pitch this to you.
Okay.
It's like The Simpsons. But the son is a BMXer instead of a skateboard. What do you think? And the dad is a banker.
Maybe the
instead
son.
Of working at the power plant.
Maybe the son is the studious one, and the daughter is the slacking.
That's a terrible idea.
You're getting somewhere now.
It's a ripoff, is what it is. Man. You'll be glad to know, by the way, that Danielle Fischel and her husband, which you might remember that story about, which blew up. With the cinnamon toast, he claimed he found a shrimp tail in his cinnamon toast crunch and became a thing for like a day. Do you remember that story?
Yeah, I do. I just didn't know who it was.
That's her husband. They do a podcast together where they review Cameos.
Oh, that's kind of a funny idea, but I know they won't execute it well.
Well, they probably have.
But I'm going to try it.
They've probably already pod faded.
Carl will be on it.
Yeah.
That's a good premise, I have to say.
I like the premise.
As long as they're vicious about it.
What I like about these shows that start up, and when they start up, they have no audience, but they already have advertisers.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite things about these shows where celebrities start up. And by favorite, I mean it's enraging. And so I'm listening to this episode, and there's a pre-roll ad that's targeted to me, obviously. This is my track number 4.
This is Brother Weeze from Radio 95.1 with my main man, Bill Moran. Wake up with us every weekday morning.
After Weeze, it's Rover's Morning Glory, 9 to 11. Then back to me with the DeTullio Moran Show, 11 till 2.
Wow.
Oh, man. I didn't have that pre-roll.
Radio advertising on podcasts. That's great.
Yeah, they're advertising radio on podcasts. Like, I know you like podcasts, but you can also listen to us every morning. Yeah. No, I'm good.
Not on demand.
Okay. Carl, on the ad front, it was so obvious to me that these three people just sat down and yammered, and they inserted the ads later because the intros made no sense out of the ads.
Right. Yeah, this is all dynamic ad insertion, which is something that I'm doing on Who Are These Podcasts Now. People commented on it quite a bit.
But
some
don't you
find it a little jarring.
Carl, don't you feel that you have to sort of close a thought out before you know the spot's inserted, or do they just insert it somewhere?
No. I get to choose where to insert it, and I like to do it at the end of the first segment before the second segment of the show. I think that kind of makes sense.
I don't think there's any thought given as to where it's inserted. They just try to find something where it'll just fit, and a sentence ends and another one starts. But it's just,
I don't know that they would know what segments are if we asked them about it, because this show just goes and goes and goes.
Exactly.
Until it stops going. So I just thought it was funny that Rover's Morning Glory is only on for 2 hours, 9 to 11. Are they cutting
They're clipping it. No, they got to be clipping
Charles,
it.
Charles, that's in Rochester, right? Just Rochester?
Maybe Cleveland.
Maybe he's live in Cleveland from 6 to 10, and they take his two best hours and cut it up and throw from 9 to 11. I don't know.
I guess, but how do you do that with morning radio? Because they're talking about different things that happen, and then we don't get that part, and then the next day they're talking about it again. It's like, well, I didn't hear that. I listen every day. I don't know. It just seems odd to me that you would only do 2 hours of a morning show.
Or they could just clip it and put it out as a podcast, since they're already advertising on a podcast.
Yes. I'm assuming.
Really wild.
Who owns the station? That was being advertised?
95.1? Oh, gosh. It's either Entercom or iHeartRadio. It's one of the two.
Okay, so obviously they own both
Rovers,
those morning shows.
Yeah.
And so they're trying to save money by putting a show in Rochester that's successful in Cleveland, and they think instead of paying someone local in Rochester, we'll just use this old worn-out show in Cleveland. And,
iHeart?
Yeah.
We were the second market to get Rover. When he started in Cleveland, Rochester was his second market. So But when Howard Stern, when they let him go, from iHeart stations, whatever it was called back then, we got Rover as the replacement, and that was not a good replacement for
Drew,
Howard Stern.
It could have been you.
I know, it could have been me.
does Carl know that story or no?
I don't know, Carl. When Howard was leaving, we were asked to do Cleveland and Chicago, but we were in the middle of a deal. We weren't really in a good position to do it. And in the same meeting, I was asked about what I thought of all these people.
Yeah.
And when I was asked about David Lee Roth, we had just had him in our studio, and I said, I think you'd be the worst morning guy. And my attorney eventually kicked me and told me to shut up because he had a feeling they really liked him.
You were right. But
I was right.
Is that the meeting your mom was at, too?
My mom was in the meeting, too.
That part of the story. I love that you took your mom to a meeting.
Well, that's great. Before the All-Star game in Detroit, and she was there, and he said, oh, these guys are CBA. They really want to meet me. I was like, oh, I'm with my mom. Just bring your mom. And it went really well.
She's probably really proud of you.
It was a very good
mommy.
Interview.
Yeah.
You know, for the job. So.
Yeah, did you say good job, Andrew, afterwards?
Probably.
Pat you on the head.
Sure, that's great.
Somehow.
Yeah, we all want to be approved by our moms.
I guess mom do knows best.
She liked them. He's a very nice man.
You sure you don't want to do it, Andrew?
He'd be very nice to work for. He really liked
last
you.
Last time I was on the show, we talked about Smartless again. And it's so funny because Tim Dillon has a podcast that I really thoroughly enjoy. I think he's got just the funniest takes. And he was going off on a rant that's very similar to what I've said on this show many times about celebrities having podcasts. And I pulled some choice clips from that rant. It goes on for a while, but I thought you'd find this amusing, starting with my track number one.
No one gives a shit what the stars of Friends have to say about the fucking the world, okay? Stop making celebrities do podcasts. I'm sure Jason Bateman is a swell guy. No one wants to know what he thinks about anything. He's a brilliant actor, and I love everything he does, but that's the only capacity that I want him. I do not care what his hot takes are. I think this era of celebrities doing podcasts will ruin it. I am uninterested in Jennifer Aniston's take on anything. Who in God's name wants to know what Courtney Cox has to say about Russia? Shut it down. Shut it down now.
So He's predicting this will be the end of podcasting with every celebrity getting their own podcast.
Now, I think we're going to see that basically every celebrity will pod fade eventually.
And many are right now because of the gig economy. Gigs are back. You know, people are going and they're touring again.
But that could be good because then all those people that were fans or wanted to hear what Courtney Cox said about the Russian invasion of Ukraine will go, well, now I got podcasts. I got to find something else. But
isn't podcasting for most of these people like the Jeremy Pivens? Isn't just a quick money grab? Lindsay Lohan, the lowdown. It's just a couple hundred grand here. Just record nine shows.
Archwell.
Yeah, exactly. That's a $30 million money grab. And it's really annoying to people who take it very seriously like us. But it's the way of the world. What can I say?
So he goes on to talk about, and this is something I've been saying for a very long time now, is that anyone with a publicist, I don't care what they have to say, because they're not going to say anything. That's the whole point of having a publicist. It's from stopping you from being yourself. Mm-hmm. This is track number two.
None of these people can ever share their real thoughts with you because that's the deal. The deal they made, which is a good deal, was to shut their mouth. And every time they went to open it, oh, here comes the money. Money. Keep your mouth shut, and here's the money.
And then he does talk about how fun it would be if these celebrities actually did open up about their lives and were actually real with us. This is track number three.
Unless people like Jennifer Aniston really lose their, like, unless they really, for whatever reason, just like start like complaining about their maid, like for the first 30 minutes of the episode and go like, I don't know where she's from, Honduras or something, but I'll tell you right now, I don't trust her and I watch her. I have to watch her and I don't like that. If it goes in that direction, it could be great. Mm. Like if Jennifer Aniston spends 30 minutes of the opening salvo of her show complaining about her maid that's faking long COVID. Like if Jennifer Aniston's like, this bitch says she has long COVID, she's a liar.
I love his very specific examples.
You know, I punched him into that global podcast rating. I punched him in. He had a very high rating. I mean, really, among the tip top of podcasting.
So yeah, there. He does on Patreon. He does about 200,000 a month. I think you can look it up.
Wow, that's great.
Not bad.
He's one of the top. He might be number one or two on there.
Has that slowed his touring down, or does he still tour as hard as ever?
He's been touring a ton.
Okay.
Actually, he just got back from Australia. He did a European tour, so he just podcasts from wherever he is.
Oh, okay, that's a lot of dough, though. I mean, if you didn't like traveling, you could probably just get away with podcasting. Yeah. But he probably loves being on stage.
He's great too. I've seen him a couple
times.
He's
funny. Now. No, he's really funny.
Very good stand up. All right, let's talk about Literally with Rob Lowe because he had Paris Hilton on. And I don't want to go overboard on the Paris Hilton bashing because we've talked about her a few times. But just some things I picked up on. Like Paris is one of the worst interviewees I've ever heard on any type of show. She makes the interviewer work so hard. Track 14 is just a quick example of this.
Were there any bad boys? You're like, oh yeah, okay, this guy just threw his tux on, but he wants to throw down. He's not having any of this like cotillion crap. Like there must have been like the bad boy that everybody's like, yeah, he's the one.
Yeah, there's always the bad boy in every single group, definitely.
Yeah, I feel like that would be a fertile ground. So
she just, how about an example, you idiot?
Honestly, this is the most unrelatable podcast I've ever heard in my life. Starting with Paris's honeymoon and then Rob saying, oh yeah, I'm going to Bora Bora next week. How unrelatable can you be?
That's great.
Yeah. She lists off a half a dozen places they went for their honeymoon, and it's all places all around the world. And they're taking private jets everywhere. And you're like, oh, that sounds like fun. Good for you. Paris Hilton, though, you would think with all that experience, the way she's grown up, she'd be interesting. She refuses to be interesting. After that conversation, Rob asks her about being at Neverland with Michael Jackson because growing up, she knew Michael Jackson. She would go to Neverland, and he's like, what was your favorite ride there? She has no idea. Oh, I don't remember. Like, she remembers everything from her boarding school experience, but nothing else.
She couldn't come up with a story from Neverland?
No. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, did she not claim that her mother was Michael Jackson's best friend?
Yes. Right.
No. No. Her mother was not 12.
She's such a bad interviewee that she's making Rob Lowe look good by asking a good question, you know, about Neverland. Well,
I felt bad for Rob because then he goes into this whole history of Neverland, how it was owned by these people, and then Michael Jackson bought it and turned it into this thing, and now it's owned by these people. And he goes through this whole long thing, and Paris goes, oh, nice.
Honestly, there were so many implausible things discussed in the show, including Robin and Paris agreeing that reality TV is a 24-hour day job. You are working your ass off.
Thank you. That's my next clip because Rob says Simple Life was one of the great shows. I loved Simple Life. I love how everyone thinks that Simple Life was a good show. It was not. Promise you that. But yes, Track 15 is exactly what you were just talking about.
I mean, that was one of, as you say, the original reality shows.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, back then it was, we were shooting 24 hours a day and they were very strict. Like, they literally took away our phones. They didn't want us having any outside distractions.
They literally took away your phones while you were filming? Imagine that.
That was 2003, 4, and 5. Phones weren't what they are now.
Sure.
Right.
Dumb bitch.
And literally 24 hours a day.
No. Literally.
Literally.
No. You're not interesting 24 hours a day, Paris. Trust me. They're not filming you that long. That would be ridiculous.
I thought it was funny, though, that she said that just to keep it real, since it was had to be real, like reality, that they didn't talk to the crew at all, and the crew couldn't talk to them. I thought, well, that is real, because the crew wouldn't be allowed to talk to you, and you wouldn't talk to the crew anyway.
Oh, I bet she was the one who said, don't let the crew talk to me. That'd be my guess.
I thought she might have exaggerated a little bit when she said of Nicole Richie that there's no one funnier. That seemed like a pretty bodacious statement to me.
Maybe in her stupid world.
No one?
Well, let's see. Really? There's Dave Chappelle.
Chris Rock?
She doesn't know them, though.
They don't exist in her world.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So let's hear Rob's reaction after she goes through this grueling work she was doing filming this reality show, Track 16.
Holy smokes.
This show is so fake in every single way.
It's
worse. It's so bad.
It's so bad it's listenable.
He's just a phony, isn't he, Rob?
Yeah,
Rob?
Well, even the ad copy. Yeah, I mean, I know I pick on ad reads a little bit too much, but Track 17, listen to how this ad starts off.
It's summer, and the last thing you want to talk about is life insurance. But listen up, especially if you're parents. Fabric has incredible term life insurance policies that can be customized to your family.
Okay. Now, my background is in marketing. And if someone would have come to me and said, all right, here's the ad copy we have. It's summer, and the last thing you want to talk about is this thing we're selling. Like, no, that's not how you start off an ad, you idiot. You want to talk about the benefits of it, not turn people off immediately. I know this sucks. I know you hate it, but you got to listen to me. Don't fast forward.
I would question one thing. Can we get a forensic accountant on $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day? I just don't think I buy that.
That's what he said.
Well, $1 million in coverage for less than a dollar a day. So
how long's
even
the
if it's 90
term.
Cents.
How long is the term?
Right.
You can't make up anything close to $1 million for less than a dollar a day, can you?
Well, unless that $1 million just the second week hits and it drops. You know,
well, if you were alive for 20 years, that's 20 times 365. That's like for less than a dollar a day, that's less than $80,000. So you're going to die. Right? Am I wrong about that?
I mean, you are going to have on the experts at Legacy Partners to explain how insurance works.
I don't know, Drew. It's summer.
Might not be such a great idea.
It's the last thing I want to think about. It's summer.
Yeah, it's summer.
That's right. I'm sorry. But he certainly sounds like he has command of life insurance, that's for sure. And Texas, for that matter. That was a great read.
Rob asks Paris, what makes a good club versus a bad club? Because as you know, Paris is known as a club girl. That was kind of like how she became famous early on, was going out to all the New York and then LA clubs. So that seems like a reasonable question that Paris should have an answer to.
For a club to be good, it's definitely all about the crowd, the lighting, the music, the vibe, and just who's around you.
Oh my God.
She'd be the worst consultant. Oh, so you mean like everything? Okay, so the music and the people who are there and how it looks and the vibe of the place and all right, that doesn't help me out at all.
She's like a human energy drain.
I know. Why is the world pretending that she is important? She's not important. When she was on Capitol Hill, that was a complete joke.
Because now she's a victim, so she's more real person.
No, she's not a victim.
No, I'm just telling you, that's why.
The Opie and Anthony show, she was such a total bore. They were completely polite to her beyond anything Opie and Anthony ever did, and Jim, for that matter. It was ridiculous. She's not important. She's not interesting at all. Are we still pretending she is?
She's interesting because she owns a Bored Ape NFT. I saw it on The Tonight Show. Jimmy Fallon. That was fascinating.
I'm sure she'll make a lot of money on it.
I have the perfect clip for what you're talking about here, Drew. So the question is, what are we going to do about these horrible boarding schools? Because obviously that's the thing that Paris is doing now, is on Capitol Hill trying to fix this. Now, if you want to listen to what she's actually saying here, good luck with that. The reason why I pulled this clip is because of the vocal fry and just how impossible it is to even... She's bored with what she's saying. Oh, she is bored.
My advice to anyone would just be to talk to your kids and to keep them at home and not send them somewhere, because I think when any child is going through something, if you're going to just put them somewhere and traumatize them more, they're going to come out with more issues than they came in with. And for me, I wasn't even a bad kid. Like, I literally just snuck out at night. And
bullshit.
My parents just thought, okay, we'll just get her out of New York and just, you know, send her to Utah because she'll not be able to go out, basically.
So basically, don't be a
parents, we're bored shitless of her. Exactly. Like we are.
Guys,
just get her out of here.
She go to boarding school or boring school?
I see what you did there.
Carl, I thought a great take, too, was that when she said she was talking about how close she was with Michael Jackson and her mother's his best friend, which I know is bullshit. But then she says she can't believe they would take down all those great rides and stuff at Neverland. What in the world? I mean, what, like he's a child molester or something? I mean, geez.
Well, and Rob's like, oh, the animals are gone. Like, well, yeah, I would think so. The guy who was collecting animals isn't alive anymore. Of course they're gone.
It was the biggest living pedophile attraction ever built. So, yeah, a lot of people think it's really kind of a bad thing. Kind of.
Yeah, my favorite ride was the Kid Toucher. I don't know if you ever went on that one. That was a lot of fun. The Anus Licker, that was a scary one. At least 11 to ride that one.
Slumber Party was a pretty popular ride, too, that I don't think was always the best of interest.
Yeah. Hey, but come on.
Here's a fun ride. It's called My Bed. Come on in. Yeah.
Come on.
Let's share it.
I have a heart and I have feelings. I feel that when you do that to me.
I feel
it's
like
not nice.
You guys are forgetting about the free booze and pills.
Yeah, Jesus juice.
That's true. That's a good perk.
Like Chappelle said, it's just being a good host.
Separating the kid from the parents, that was another good ride.
Brilliant.
Very wacky.
I can't believe that Paris said in that last clip that she wasn't even that bad of a kid. Like I said before, not to be redundant, I actually watched her entire doc, and she was a horrible kid to the point where they didn't know what else to do. They kept saying, like, Paris, our hands are tied here. We have to send you away. We can't let you stay here anymore. We can't control you at all. It's just, I wasn't even that bad a kid, and then they threw me into boarding school.
No, she
and
was,
then 20
she,
years later, I remembered how bad it was.
Wasn't she 13 years old? She was in bars every night? That's what she said, I thought.
Yes. Every night.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's a bad kid. Yeah.
I wonder what made those bars so great. Should we ask her?
She can the lighting, the music, the people.
She can
people,
describe a bar, any bar.
The vibe, the drinks.
Jesus.
Let's talk about her DJing career, because Rob wants to talk to her about DJing. And so by track number 21, she talks about that.
I love it. It's so much fun. There's nothing like just being on stage in front of hundreds of thousands of people. And
she says nothing.
All right. Wow. So I looked this up because hundreds of thousands of people would imply 200,000 plus people are at a Paris Hilton show. And I looked up, there's a handful of shows that have ever happened with 200,000 plus people. Paris was not a performer on any of them.
Maybe she means cumulative, all of them together.
You'll be surprised to know, like, people like Paul McCartney, Rod Stewart, Queen, The Grateful Dead. No Paris Hilton. I know. I was shocked, too.
She's such a bore. Why do we have to pretend she's important? I mean, outside of this little world here, everyone pretends that she's a great business person. She's the original influencer. Did you catch that part, Carl?
Oh, yeah. That everyone goes to that. They're like, wow, you were an influencer before there were influencers. They're like, you created that whole thing. Like, well, no, she had a sex tape before most celebrities had a sex tape.
Well, that's why people want to listen to her, because she's still attractive.
No, there was nothing she did besides be hot and be around other hot women. No,
and now they're a dime a dozen, too. Hot chicks. They're everywhere.
Yeah. Was that a cut,
frankly,
Carl?
Frankly, her sex tape wasn't even that good. Can we all agree on that?
No, she answers the phone.
Checking her phone.
She answered the phone.
Well, come on, guys. She always had it taken away from her. So
that's true, yeah.
But what he was asked, or he asked her about, you know, God, what? How did you get to be the original? I mean, there were It Girls before, but you were the original It Girl influencer. And she says, well, some people, I think there's something. I can't do vocal fry. I think there's something just magical about certain people. But. What? So there's something magical about her? What? She's boring!
The most interesting thing about both those people is that they both had sex tapes.
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
And they've overcome their sex tapes to become huge celebrities now.
Did they not bond over that? Did they discuss their mutual, you know?
No. The one thing that Rob tried to bond with her at is that he went to rehab and she went to boarding school. And he's like, it's the same thing.
Not at
it's
all.
It's not the same thing. I'm just saying. It's kind of similar.
You just think the sex tape angle would be a pretty good topic to discuss between these two, because he had one before anybody was having sex tapes.
Yeah, but wasn't there an underage girl on that tape?
Yeah.
Wrong about that?
Yes.
I don't think he wants to talk about it.
Those were crazy times.
No, he does not.
I don't think he brings that up.
No, that's something personal that he does not talk about at all, ever.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, I plugged him in to the global podcast rating, and he had a really high rating, too. I was so pissed. I'm like, how can he have? His show's terrible. But he was, I think he was in the top five his first few weeks, so maybe he's slowly filtering down. I'll have to keep an eye on that. Please, well, they tumble down.
He does not do his research. I have one more quick clip on here, my number 20. Where he asks Paris where you can find her documentary.
What? Your documentary came out 2 years ago, am I right?
Yes.
Right. Where can, if people want to watch it, where's the best place to see it now, do you think? Netflix, or where is it?
I did this one with YouTube because I wanted it to be available to everyone around the world.
Yeah, right.
Because not everybody has, you know, all these streaming services. So I wanted it to be available to everyone. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can check it out. It's called This Is Paris on YouTube.
Because you couldn't sell it.
How many streams? Anybody?
That's such bullshit. Yeah. The reason why I didn't go with Netflix or Amazon is because they didn't want it.
Yeah,
that's the real reason. You put things on YouTube because no one else wants it.
Yeah, you could have made a deal where you sold it to somebody else and then put it on YouTube once that expires.
Right.
No, it's just full of shit.
But also, I love Rob. Like, that's the one thing he might have should have known before bringing her in, like, what she's promoting. Where do we find it? Netflix?
I got to admit, I'm glad he didn't. I'm glad he didn't.
Yeah, I know, but why are you guessing at it? You could just say, like, where can people find that? There's lots of streaming services. Where can they find it?
Yeah, he busted himself.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great,
for
man.
Sure. So.
That's all of them.
That's all of them. Okay.
That's all we got.
This is what I have, the real story of Paris Hilton. This Is Paris original official documentary. 67 million views. That's...
What?
I know. How can that be?
67 million views? For real?
Is she... No, is she exciting and we're boring and we just don't know it? Is she interesting? Nope. I mean, is there an alternate universe out there? I don't get it. Why would 67 million people watch it? That's stunning.
When I see numbers like that, Drew, I wish they would also tell you the average view length. Because when you have your own channel on YouTube, you not only see the view count, but how many minutes they're watching for and the percentage of people who like it versus don't like it. I would love to see those numbers because I have a feeling that the average watch time is 5 minutes.
It's not nice to make fun of people.
Okay, the comments. Let's see. This woman bleeds with empathy, pain, sadness. I wish I could be her friend and just sit and hold her and listen.
It's all fake.
Really? People buy that? You never know what people go through. I'm glad she made this documentary. She's an amazing woman.
She
is not an amazing woman.
What is so amazing about her?
Nothing.
Her parents were rich. Her grandfather was rich.
Oh, Jesus. I'm only 40 minutes in, and I have to say my perspective of Paris has completely changed. I'm sorry she had to go through these things she went through. Everyone deserves a certain amount of privacy.
And if anybody wants to watch this documentary, you should probably watch it through the eyes and ears of Carl and Casey.
Yes. Yeah, we have a YouTube video of us watching this. And one of my favorite scenes is she has this new boyfriend and she's leaving town and the boyfriend's staying with her in her house. So she's setting up cameras all around her house because she doesn't trust her new boyfriend. They're trying to show that she's the one who's setting up these security cameras and like hiding them and hooking them up. Like, there's no way Paris knows how to do this. This is no. This is all fake. Oh, it's a lie.
Well, not only that, why would you have a boyfriend you couldn't trust and you had to have surveillance on?
Especially when you're talking about your parents sending you to a boarding school that involved maybe a break of trust there. That's, you know.
Well, there's also a scene where she dumps her German boyfriend during a gig where she's DJing because he stresses her out before her big show, which she has to get up and hit the play button. And then keep her arm like this for 40 minutes.
But she has to do that in front of hundreds of thousands of people.
Right?
Oh, God. What a joke.
There were a lot of people at this festival, but it was not over 100,000, that's for sure.
What a lie.
Carl, what is the topic on Who Are These Podcasts this week?
Well, if you listen to the current episode that's out, it's a show called We're Having Gay Sex.
Yes, been enjoying that.
It's a great episode.
You have?
With Ashley Gavin, who is a lesbian stand-up and has on other gay people on her show to talk about gay sex. Or do they? Tune in and find out if they actually do or not. And then tomorrow, I'm doing our midweek show. We started doing two shows a week back in June. And I'll be chatting with Shuli Vince, who is Southern John's former attorney, and Dr. Steve will be really digging into all things Southern John, especially the latest revelation. I don't know if you guys follow this.
No, I don't. Like, I don't know whatever this is.
Bluses.
But Stuttering John finally admitted that he was a substitute teacher, something that he was denying for months, despite the fact that there was photographic evidence, there were students tweeting about it, and he was saying it's Photoshopped and the kids are lying.
Bluses.
He went through all this stuff to say that all of it was fake, and then just this past Saturday on a show, he's like, so anyway, I was a substitute teacher, and then he starts bragging about it. Like, wait, what?
He's owning it now, huh?
Wait, so that means that he is really hurting for money. I mean, really hurting for money. Substitute teaching, how much can that pay him?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's not in show business anymore. That's the thing that John doesn't know. Everyone else understands it, but he doesn't. He's not in show business anymore. It's over.
I know. He brags about being on the most popular radio show and one of the most popular TV shows of all time. He is the largest underperformer that you could possibly be for being on two shows that big. He's done less with it than anyone possibly could. He's tried harder.
He really has. Yeah, he squandered his money trying to make a movie that was terrible, that's unwatchable. He wrote this book that no one's ever read. It's funny because another intern from the Howard Stern show, Steve Grillo, he'll go on John's show from time to time, and John will talk down to him. Oh, Grillo, you know, he always thinks he's a big shot. Meanwhile, Grillo actually has a job where he works on TV shows. He actually still is in show business.
Well,
figure.
I've heard him say that he got Artie his start doing stand-up, and I mean,
yeah, I put them on the tour back in the old days.
What the?
He says that about Jim Norton as well.
Jim Norton.
He discovered the Midas Touch brothers.
But I discovered them.
Yeah, that's another one. Anyway, I've been enjoying being a bag slapper. There's a lot of content that you get from being a bag slapper. I mean, because I used to bum out when WATP was one show a week. It was like, oh, God, I'm literally texting Carl at 11:50 on Sunday. Carl, when does this show up?
That's true. Yep.
And now I've got so much material, I never have to bother Carl anymore.
Did you see Vic's boobs on there yet?
No, I did not.
I can send it to you.
Oh, thank you.
That's our review girl.
You're brought to us. Oh,
I
want to
thank
girl.
You for the support, Drew. I appreciate you being on our Patreon. Like you said, not only do we have bonus episodes, but you can watch us stream the show live every Wednesday and Saturday when you are a member. And I saw that you also got some merch.
I did. I got a shirt. I like it very much.
I got to send you a hat. I know you like hats.
I love hats.
What I'm wearing here.
Yeah.
I'll get you one of these.
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't buy one. I guess it just got stuck in the shirt.
They're not available. They're just for me.
Oh, that's cool. That's a real bag slapping kind of thing. Thanks, Carl.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Carl.
Hey, Carl. Good to see you.